From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Wade Menezes. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
A tremendous Tuesday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line. If you'd like to be on the program, the number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985. And we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can always send us an email, openline@ewtn.com. Or you can text your question, text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response, text your first name and your question, message, and data rates may apply. I'm Jack Williams, Michael McCall producing the program. Your call screener is Ryan Penny, and Jeff Burson handling our social media efforts. So if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook Live, just type a question into the chat window and it may find its way to us by the end of the program. And now if everybody will work with me here, I'm going to conjure up the spirit of Father Wade Menezes of the Fathers of Mercy. Is that a problem, Father Wade?
Well, it's not exactly a Catholic way of wording it. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay. All right. No channeling today.
No okay. Channeling.
Okay. All right. Well, I think
no conjuring.
You're gonna enlighten us on why that's a bad idea.
I am. And today we're going to talk about superstition and divination. And I'll tell you why, because we are in the Easter season. And Jesus Christ came precisely to save us from this kind of thing, huh? And so I think it's important to talk about it, especially as we approach the great solemnity of Pentecost and the sending of the Holy Spirit, the so-called birthday of the church. And so we want to remind ourselves that things like superstition and divination and the occult and things like that just have no place in the life of the true and authentic believer, especially when contemplating the glory of these 50 days, from Easter Sunday to Pentecost Sunday. So I'd like to talk about superstition and why it's dangerous to the person who practices it in its many varied forms, which more often than not, Jack, stem from a tendency toward magic or false devotion. When it tends toward magic, superstition attributes a kind of magical power to certain practices or objects, like charms or omens, we could say, right? Reliance on such power rather than on the trust in God constitutes an offense against the honor, adoration, and worship due to Almighty God alone, as required by the first commandment, "I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me." When superstition is rooted in an allurement toward magic, it reflects a false mentality that may or may not be rooted in false devotion. False devotion is really a false notion, we could say, of what constitutes proper worship of God himself. And this can take on a variety of forms, like chain letters, chain prayers, veneration of unapproved objects, and similar such things. But their common denominator, Jack, is an excessive concern that unless certain external practices are performed, God will not be pleased. It's a type of pseudo-spiritual scrupulosity or pseudo-spiritual OCD. You know, I got to get that chain letter in the church, otherwise God's not going to answer my prayer type thing. And again, Jesus Christ came to save us from these things. We want authentic and true worship and devotion. So put simply then, a superstition is really unseemly or irreverent worship of God, or giving to a creature the worship that properly belongs to God alone, like giving the chain letter the worship, so to speak, or giving to a creature the worship that properly belongs to God solely to him as our triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Giving divine worship to a creature is either idolatry, divination, or vain observance, the Catechism teaches. So it is that that the term superstition more commonly means unbecoming worship. That is to say, when worship, properly speaking, should only be given to God. Now I mentioned divination, huh? Divination has traditionally been understood and defined as the art of knowing and declaring future events or hidden things by means of communication with occult forces.
I knew you were going to say that.
Right. Powers that the church identifies as diabolical. Based soundly on sacred scripture, sacred tradition, and the magisterium, church teaching on this subject is clear, very clear. Paragraph 2116 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church states, quote, "All forms of divination are to be rejected, such as recourse to Satan or demons, conjuring up the dead or other practices falsely supposed to unveil the future. Also consulting such things as horoscopes, astrology, palm reading, interpretation of omens and lots, and the phenomena of clairvoyance, the recourse to mediums. All these conceal a desire for power over time, over history, and in the last analysis the Catechism teaches, really power over other human beings, as well as a wish to conciliate, that is to gain or esteem, hidden powers for oneself. So all of these practices really contradict the honor, respect, and loving fear that we owe to Almighty God alone. That's why they're tied together in the Catechism, huh? Superstition and divination. And evoking such powers, whether explicitly or implicitly, is considered an appeal to Satan's aid. This explains the strong prohibitions in the Bible of any divination practices, such as that found in chapter 19 of the book of Leviticus, wherein we read, "Do not have recourse to the spirits of the dead or to magicians, for they will defile you." So in the life of the solidly rooted Christian, Jack, I like to tell my listeners that all aspects of divination and superstition are to be avoided. And strongly so, since such practices clearly break the first commandment. Again, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. Now, remember last week, Jack, our springboard topic was the communion of saints and proper devotion. So I got to thinking after last week's show, because I wanted to cover the communion of saints and proper devotion precisely because it is the Easter season, right? And we're heading towards the Ascension, 40 days after Easter. We're heading towards Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Easter. Which will close the 50-day Easter season, Pentecost will. But after last week's show, I got to thinking, you know, I better show the excessive form of devotion, that kind of devotion we don't want. And that's why I wanted to cover just 1 week later now for our springboard topic, superstition and devotion. Now, today would have been Mother Angelica's 98th birthday. Mother surely would have kept us on the right track with her, you know, EWTN Live on Wednesday nights, telling us to stay away from such false devotions and superstitions and so forth, and things like divination. I would love for our callers today, Jack, to call in if they ever met Mother and how Mother impressed upon them some aspect of the truth, some aspect of church teaching, to stay on the straight and narrow, right in line with the chair of Peter, to be a faithful son and daughter of the church. Maybe they might have met Mother, at one of the tapings of her show. Maybe they were a pilgrim at EWTN, and they were part of the live audience. And remember, Jack, Mother used to come out and meet the audience mm-hmm. a few minutes before the show, and she'd shake hands with people and say hello to them, and she'd always have some comical remarks to make once she found out where the group was from. But maybe they got to talk to Mother after the show, which often happened as well. And maybe Mother impressed upon them, or maybe they were just watching Mother Angelica on television in their living room one late night, and something she said on her show touched them, or maybe they saw her in another aspect, maybe at the EWTN family celebration, and they got to meet her at a public event like that, or maybe something not associated with EWTN, but maybe she was a keynote speaker at another Catholic group or organization's annual get together or annual dinner. Somehow, some way that Mother Angelica might have touched your life, because today's topic, Mother would have wanted us to be faithful to the church, and that's the main thing.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. You know, I had the great privilege as an affiliate, mm-hmm. member of an affiliate group in Des Moines, Iowa, came to the annual radio conference that was hosted here in Birmingham up until the pandemic hit last year. And we were at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament. This is probably a couple decades ago or a decade and a half ago.
Right.
Which the radio conference always begins with a retreat day at the Shrine. And we were having confession, and there was going to be Mass in the Crypt Church. And as we were walking out of the upper church, everybody was being funneled into the parlor. And Mother had heard that we were there for the conference, and she wanted to come out and greet us. And this was after all of her maladies, and she was,
right.
You know, she was pulled back from the network at that point and living a life of prayer. And we just had a brilliant opportunity to funnel in, and everybody got a little bit of one-on-one time with Mother Angelica.
Beautiful, beautiful. Sounds like her.
It's EWTN's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Menezes.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Again, that number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You know, EWTN's religious catalog, EWTNRC.com. Check out our new product, Salvation, What Every Catholic Should Know, by Dr. Michael Barber. He answers such questions as, what does salvation mean? It's easy, readable prose. He explains what the cross, the church, and the Trinity have to do with salvation. And while intellectually stimulating, this book is deeply spiritual, and at its core is the salvific message that God is love, and his love is one that transforms and redeems. That's Salvation, What Every Catholic Should Know. That's a pretty succinct topic right there. By Dr. Michael Barber, you can get that at EWTNRC.com. They're offering free shipping on online orders of $75 or more. Standard shipping in the continental U.S. only. Use code FREE at checkout. And if you need a little something extra to get yourself up to $75, take a look at Mother Angelica's new book, A Holy Hour with Mother Angelica, put together by EWTN Publishing. And you can find all of that good stuff here on Mother's Birthday.
That's right.
At EWTN.
And I've got her cup out today, Jack.
Well, there you go.
Can you see your cup there?
Yeah. There's a t-shirt that was marketed at the 30th anniversary of the network as we enter our 40th year now.
Great.
That was just the entire whole giant front of the t-shirt was nothing but a big photograph of Mother. so that I always have people turning their heads in stores when I walk past with that t-shirt on. To the phones we go. With much trepidation and a little bit of reservation, I head to Jim in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. And, Jim, you better be listening to Spirit Catholic Radio.
I am, Jack. How are you? Yes, it's Jim Carroll.
I'm terrific. You'd be setting a bad example if you were not.
And so my Easter greetings to both you and Father Wade. Phenomenal job. But when I heard Father Wade ask about any stories concerning Mother Angelica, I thought I'd share this one. I shared it with my staff this morning. We're very blessed in that we've got the Blessed Sacrament. I think it's key to Mother's success is you go down and visit Hansville. But we've had the Blessed Sacrament. Well, Father Wade, you've been there, so has Jack. And we get together to pray. And we'd say, with it being Mother's birthday today, my wife said, why don't you share the story of meeting Mother? It was almost 12 years. It'll be 12 years ago on the 28th. That we brought a group of pilgrims down to Irondale and then also to Hansville. And the word made it to Mother, who was there in Hansville. She was no longer out and about in the public, that a group of people were there with Spirit Catholic Radio. And then she found out that it was our 25th wedding anniversary on that day.
Oh, there you go.
Earlier we'd been to Radio Mountain and we were able to renew our wedding vows there. We brought our own priest along with us. And they said that didn't happen very often unless some folks came from Spirit Catholic Radio. Anyway, we were brought to visit with Mother there behind the grill. They brought her out. We were able to hold her hands through the grill. And she was having some challenge in speaking, but she very, very clearly, number one, she looked at my wife and I and said, love each other. And then she said about Catholic radio, she said, trust in God. Wow. Trust in God. So it made our day. We took some blurry pictures, unfortunately, but I'll never forget meeting Mother on our 25th wedding anniversary, and the joy that was in her heart and being able to meet with her was just really something.
That's beautiful, Jim. She was short and to the point, and look at the lasting influence those two lines had on you for your marriage and for your apostolate in Catholic radio. Thank you so much for sharing, and thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it, and God bless you all there.
God bless you, the whole team there at Spirit Catholic Radio, and your lovely wife, Carol, as well. His lovely wife, Carol. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Next up is Marty in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Marty, welcome to the program.
Thank you. My patron saint is St. Johnette Williams.
Hey, now, I need her on Earth here a little bit longer. Let's not canonize her just yet, please.
No, I just wanted to tell y'all that about 20 years ago, I was channel surfing late one night. I came across Mother Angelica. She was so feisty, I said, that's my kind of girl. And I started watching her, and just through finding out about EWTN, listening to you, Father, you're so smart. You know your faith. You love your faith. Everybody there is just wonderful. But Mother brought me out of the gay life.
Praise God.
She made me, it's not easy, but I tell you, I am so glad I came across Mother, because I listened to her all the time. I was caring for an elderly mother at the time, and there were so many things that I was able to do, because it was the best gift God ever gave me, because it taught me humility.
Praise God, Marty. And you said it was in the middle of the night that you happened to be turning on the TV and channel surfing and came across her. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was late. I mean, really late. And then I thought, who is this little nun? And then I found out about EWTN. A story I watched, I can't remember the show, they showed a little movie about St. Josephine Baqueda. It's the best little show you've ever watched. I fell in love with her. Well, the next day I ran into our business office at our complex, got on the computer, and come to find out, which really touched me, is that John Paul canonized her on my birthday.
Well, praise God. Yeah, there
you
go.
And one of the nuns told a little story. She asked Mother Baqueda, she said, why do you always kiss the baptismal font when we go into church, Mama? And she said, because that's where I became a daughter of God. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. And that is a fantastic film on the life of St. Josephine Baqueda. And I encourage our listeners, if you have not seen it yet, to watch for it on EWTN scheduling, or better yet, make it part of your Catholic home DVD library by purchasing a copy from EWTNRC. It's just a fantastic film, as are many of the films put out by that Italian film company that does a lot of the lives of the saints. They do a fantastic job. Marty, thank you so much for your witness. It's a great witness call, I like to call it, when somebody like yourself calls in and gives a great witness. And we thank you so much and sharing with us how Mother touched your life. Thank you.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. We'd love to hear your stories about your encounters that you may have had with Mother Angelica over the years.
Right.
Next up is Kathleen in Indianapolis, Indiana. She's listening on Catholic Radio Indy. Kathleen, you are on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father Wade. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome, Kathleen. Thank you.
And your programs are really great, the Four Signs and all that. You're really good. And I really liked all your homilies today, and I've seen. Okay, my question is, and I know that there is a lot of people that are stressed out about this, because there's so much information out there that is either true or false. But, you know, in the Bible it says people will take the mark of the beast in their forehead or in their hand. Am I right?
Yeah, that is correct. That's been in the book of Revelation. And what exactly is your question in regards to that?
The question is, okay, is people are saying that the shot for the coronavirus is the mark of the beast.
Yeah. When it comes to the vaccination for the COVID-19 virus, I look to the guidance of Holy Mother Church, again, cum ecclesia with the church. And on December 21st, 2020, the Vatican's doctrinal office, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, the CDF, issued a statement noting it is morally acceptable for Catholics to take vaccines against COVID-19. Among other things, the CDF stated the following, that all vaccinations recognized as clinically safe and effective can be used in good conscience with the certain knowledge that the use of such vaccines does not constitute formal cooperation with the abortion from which the cell lines used in production of the vaccines derive, okay? The morality of the vaccination depends not only on the duty to protect one's own health, but also on the duty to pursue the common good. And then it goes on as well, in the absence of other means to stop or even prevent the epidemic, the common good may recommend vaccination, especially to protect the weakest and most exposed. Thus, the different conferences of bishops, while strongly encouraging Catholics to receive a safe and effective COVID vaccine, does not make it absolutely mandatory because the church doesn't. If some of the faithful choose not to take the vaccine for reasons of conscience, the Vatican says those persons must do their utmost to avoid becoming vehicles for the transmission of the infectious agent. So, since it's impossible to influence an act that occurred in the past, okay, a recipient of the COVID-19 vaccines developed from the cell lines in question, the CDF teaches, cannot influence or contribute to anything regarding the original abortions. Again, the mere fact that a vaccine may have been tested using these cell lines does not establish a connection between the vaccine recipient and the abortion per se. Furthermore, simply knowing the origin of the cell lines does not mean that one intends abortion. Thus, a recipient of the vaccine does not approve of or intend the original abortions or materially contribute to them or cooperate with them. Clearly, all that the recipient intends is the good preventing disease and the saving of lives. This includes protecting countless pregnant women from contracting COVID-19 who will be able to carry their unborn baby safely to term. So the church leaves it up to the individual. Okay, and the church has established that even though the abortion cell lines are remote, one taking the vaccine does not mean that one is approving of the abortion that took place. There's a church teaching regarding proximate and remote cooperation in the sin, and this has to be invoked at this time, right? That said, you are still free to not take the vaccine if you don't want to. As far as it being the mark of the beast, I don't know anything about that.
The church is not going to lend affirmation to the mark of the beast.
That's exactly
Let's be
right.
honest.
That's exactly right. And we want to be cum ecclesia. We want to be with the church. So I want to urge all my listeners right now who are hearing this to go to the Vatican website, vatican.va, and on the search line, simply put in statement on COVID-19 vaccine. It's all right there. And don't live in fear, okay? If you choose not to get it, don't get it. If you choose to get it, get it. Now, that said, I believe that the Johnson & Johnson one, precisely because it's been halted, if you do receive the vaccine, do not get that one, because even the FDA is recommending not to get that one for right now. So we have to be prudent where the experts are concerned. But if you choose not to get it at all, don't get it at all.
God bless you, Kathleen. Thanks so much for the phone call. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. It's EWTN's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Menezes.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-EWTN. 3986 as we roll along on a Mother Angelica 98th birthday edition of EWTN's Open Line Tuesday.
That's right.
Next up is Susan in Modesto, California. Father Wade's old stomping grounds, a first-time caller listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Susan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Hi, Father Wade. This is Sue Claret.
Hi, Sue.
Doing.
Great.
I love your new book.
Thanks for calling, Sue. We really appreciate it.
You know, Father Wade, many years ago, I had the good fortune to be in Alabama, and Sister Andrade and her sister received their final vows. It was a beautiful ceremony that I had the good fortune to attend. And I thought perhaps, you know, both of you could speak to how Mother influenced so many individuals in their faith over the years, and especially those who came forward to answer the call of being either a priest or especially a sister as a result of her words and her influence. God bless you both, and thank you for today.
Thank you, Susan, and God bless all of you in the Claret family. Our family, the Menezes family, grew up near the Claret family there. We each had dairies, and the families knew each other. And I remember very fondly, especially Susan's mother, Rose. So God bless your parents and the blessed repose of their souls, Susan. You know, my 3.5 years of being stationed at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament, I saw many, many young women come in to do their aspirant visitation there at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament. At Our Lady of the Angels Monastery, which is the Cloistered Sisters Monastery located there at the shrine. And I got to talk to many of them over those years that I was there. And even now, as I visit, if there's an aspirant visiting there, and I happen to meet her and or her parents, the parents will tell me that she's currently in the cloister doing her visitation, and the parents themselves are there those few days as well to a little pilgrimage to the shrine. It's just a beautiful thing to see. But back when Mother was still living and Mother was still well, which was the first year and a half of my full time there, 3.5 years, Mother had a very, very profound influence. She would always tell the young women, don't ask yourself what you want to do. Ask yourself what you think God wants you to do. How do you think God is calling you? Is it to consecrate a religious life? Is it to marriage? Is it to singlehood? Again, don't ask what you want to be, what you want to do. Ask yourself what you believe God is calling you to do, what God is calling you to be. And that always stayed with me. I myself was fortunate to have a great spiritual director when I was still a layman in the Modesto area. Susan, you probably remember Father Joseph Terra, who was a diocesan priest then with the Stockton Diocese, who is now a member of the Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter. He was my spiritual director who helped me discern to the Fathers of Mercy. And he told me something very similar as Mother would tell the young women. What do you think God is calling you to do? You know, and if you believe it might be religious life, you're bound to at least go do a visitation. And I've never forgotten those words from Father Terra, and seeing Mother years later when I was a priest after my formation and stationed down at the shrine. And hearing Mother talk like that reminded me of Father Terra, two dedicated religious individuals who would try to guide other souls to what it was that God was leading them to do. And I think that's a message that stands pertinent today for marrieds and for singles. The holy and blessed marriages. Just this last Saturday, I gave a day-long marriage retreat in Owensboro, Kentucky, to 9 couples, to the 18 individuals. It was a fantastic day. Owensboro is the diocesan see city of our Diocese of Owensboro here that the Fathers of Mercy are located in. And just beautiful marriages, and the single people that I've met over the years, and who have made their life in giving so much back to the church and to society, and that's a beautiful thing too. John Paul II did a lot in his pontificate, now saint, to bring the viability of singlehood to the front burner as a viable vocation in the life of the church, from his Wednesday audiences on vocations, married, single, and the consecrated life. So these are viable vocations, and Mother, her goal wasn't to get girls to enter the convent per se, it was to get the young women to discern what their vocation was. And I think that's important when we're looking at life. What is it that you believe God is calling you to do? So Susan, great to hear from you. Thank you so much for calling. We really appreciate it.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Next up is Diego in South Hadley, Massachusetts, another first-time caller listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Diego, you are on with Father Wade.
Thank you very much. Blessings to you. I heard Trent Horn say that necromancy, which is wrong, is a give-and-take conversation with a deceased person. How is that different than in some Marian apparitions, like at La Salette, there was an interaction, conversation between the visionary and Mary? And can you explain that distinction in a way that will help me give a loving testimony to my anti-Catholic friend?
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much, Diego, for your call. Well, the art of divining the future through alleged communication with the dead is the definition of necromancy. Mary is body and soul in heaven. Mary's not dead. If she did die, she still was assumed body and soul into heaven. If she went into a deep sleep, she's still body and soul into heaven. So there's theological conjecture as if whether or not Mary actually died, and the greater consistency among the fathers of the West and the Western Church is that she would have wanted to imitate her son in every way, so she did die. The fact is, whether she died or didn't die, Mary had no decay of the body. That's the main thing. There was no decay, and that's why the Eastern Church calls it the dormition, because it was like a sleep. But when the Eastern Church says that, they don't mean a literal sleep and that she did not die. They simply mean that if she did die, she did not have decay of the body. So there's theological conjecture there. My point being, in point to your question, Diego, which is a great one, thank you so much for your call today, is that Mary's not considered dead, and that's what necromancy is, the art of divining the future through alleged communication with the dead. It's mentioned in the Bible and found in every ancient nation. It was forbidden by Mosaic law in any form, whether it's alchemy, magic, or even witchcraft. It's also forbidden by the church, obviously. One reason is that the practice lends itself to dependence on the evil spirits who can pretend to foretell the future. None of that happens in a purported Marian apparition, whether it's eventually deemed worthy of belief by the local bishop or not. There's no calling on evil spirits or anything like that, but only to deceive and mislead practitioners is what necromancy does, right? So in modern times, it is called spiritism or spiritualism. It comes from the Greek word necros, meaning corpse, and manteia, meaning divination. The Latin term is necromancia, where we get the English necromancy from. So Mary is not dead, which necromancy implies the calling on of the dead. Number two, it's to call on the evil spirits to somehow foretell the future. Now, while Mary might tell the children in an approved apparition to pray the rosary for world peace, for example, so that Russia does not spread her errors of communism, Mary is not necessarily telling the children this will happen or that will not happen. She's just encouraging the children to pray the rosary to deflect a current evil, to help deflect a current evil that is taking place. It's not that she's telling the children what the future is. Even though she said, for example, Fatima, or else Russia will spread her errors throughout the world, she was saying that that could be a tolerated consequence if the rosary is not prayed daily for world peace. It's not a calling on the future per se. So that's the difference. And those are three very main good arguments right there, how the approved or non-approved apparitions of the Blessed Mother, the ones that are still being studied, like Medjugorje, are not to be considered the practice of necromancy. So great, great question, Diego. Thank you so much.
Next up is Amanda. She is in Lake Charles, Missouri, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Channel 130. Amanda, you're on with Father Wade Menezes.
Hello, y'all. Thank y'all so much. I just had to call. It was on my heart being Mother Angelica's birthday and how much she means to my life. I wanted to share how she entered my life. When I was in high school, I was very depressed. Very down, and when I would go to bed, I didn't like secular media and scary things, so I'd always put on EWTN. Well, multiple times when I would wake up in the middle of the night around 2-3 o'clock with pressing questions on my heart, I would hear the sweet old nun, Mother Angelica's voice, answering my question. And first, a couple of times, I was like, this is a coincidence. But it happened multiple times throughout my high school that I would have these pressing questions, thoughts about where my life was going, and just very down. And there was Mother Angelica speaking her wisdom, exactly what I needed to hear at that moment. And then to think that maybe it was just high school, I'm married now, and I was on a vacation. Me and my husband were just not in a great place, and I went to YouTube. I was like, I need Mother Angelica. And I found this episode. I clicked it, and once again, exactly what I needed to hear to help our situation was Mother Angelica's wisdom speaking strictly to me. And I've just had a connection to her since. She's the one who's taught me my Catholic faith. I say I went to a Catholic university of Mother Angelica. She's just such a blessing to my life. And I just pray for her sainthood. And I hope she's looking down on us.
Well, great. Thank you so much for your call. That's a great, great witness. And we really, really appreciate it, Amanda. Thank you so much. And how she's touched your life. And God bless you and your marriage abundantly. Thank you so much.
God bless you. We appreciate that phone call. And, you know, just as Amanda found so much comfort in the words of Mother Angelica, you know, viewers and listeners for decades now have drawn the same comfort from Mother Angelica's wisdom. And we thought of no better tribute here at EWTN Radio to the celebration of Mother's birthday would be to launch a new show in her honor, which we're doing tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. It's called Mother Angelica Answering the Call. Father Joseph Mary Wolfe and Doug Keck mine decades of phone calls that were answered by Mother Angelica on her live shows. She dishes out teaching, advice, laughter, plenty of prayers as she takes calls from what she always referred to as her family. No subject is off limits and no problem is too big for the wisdom and compassion of the one and only Mother Angelica. Again, a special preview tonight, 8 Eastern Time, right here on EWTN Radio. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. A couple of lines open for you at 833-288-3986. Next up is Betsy in Chattanooga, Tennessee. She's a first-time caller listening on Guadalupe Radio. Betsy, you are on with Father Wade Menezes.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate being able to get my question on the show. My question regards the COVID-19 vaccine and the stress that the experts are placing on getting herd immunity in the country so that even though not everybody gets the vaccine, enough people get it so that the pandemic will really start subsiding in this country. And with that in mind, I'm wondering why it is that you're not encouraging people to get the vaccine. The reasons I've been given by a friend who's very religious for not getting the vaccines, first of all, she says that God is protecting her. And second, she's somewhat leery of the government, not sure she should trust it.
Sure,
and I was wondering what you have to say to that.
Well, Betsy, thank you so much for your call. If you look at the Vatican document that I referenced earlier, which I presume you probably heard that part of the show this hour, it is clear that the church is encouraging it, just not making it mandatory. And the reason why the church is not making it mandatory is because it's just too early yet, technically speaking, to know the after effects of these vaccines. Look what's happened to the J&J vaccine just in the last 2 weeks. People in their 30s are getting blood clots. There's a certain number of cases. It is a low number of cases, granted, but it's still happening, and they're young people. So while that has not happened with the other two, the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines, anything like that, it's still an early time on the calendar of the rollout for all three. So we have a right to be prudent. We have a right to be selective. We have a right to be able to wait and see, prudentially speaking, what will be any after effects. So this is the mind of the church in not making it mandatory, although if you read the document from late 2020 on the vaccines, the church is encouraging those to get it if they feel they want to get it. So it's a prudential judgment. And remember, prudence is the cardinal of the cardinal virtues. Prudence runs the other three. of justice, fortitude, and temperance. And so it's a very important virtue, and so we want to address the vaccine conversation in that regard. I would tend to disagree with your friend that God's going to protect me so I don't have to do it, but God's also given the human person an intellect to know and a will to choose, and natural resources from whence we can find remedies for illnesses. So while I would not agree with your friend, in fact, I would go so far as to tell your friend that as a practicing devout believer, presuming she's a Christian, as a devout believer, that's probably not an argument you want to give to your friends why you don't want to get the vaccine, because it negates the truth that God also wants us to use the intellect that He's given us. And when He tells us in the book of Genesis that He's given us dominion, lordship, if you will, from the Latin word dominus, He's given us dominion over the land, over the air, over the creeping, crawling things, over the brute animals, over every living plant and flower, etc. This is all in reference to the fact that we have the ability, if we have the ability to discover means of remedies, we should pursue those because God wills it. Vatican II is very clear about this truth. So that's probably not the best argument that your friend is giving you. As far as the government things that your friend is saying as an excuse why she chooses not to get it, that's her belief system. There have been some convincing arguments out there as to why things are going on in a prolonged way when seemingly the numbers of those affected is going down. Again, one has a right to evaluate these things. There are certain states that have completely opened that have not increased in number. It's almost as if they've reached their herd immunity. We have a right to question that good that's there with those states that have opened up versus those who refuse to open. This is good dialogue. This is a free country, and we have a right to question those things based on the virtue of prudence. So while I don't agree with the necessarily with the two excuses your friend is giving, I do agree with the way the church's document from the Sacred Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which came out in late 2020, is written. And if you read it, the wording is that it is encouraging it, but to get the vaccine, but with all due prudence. And so that's going to be my take on it, and my giving pastoral advice to others whether or not they should do it. They don't have to, but they're welcome to do it. And also tying into this teaching, Betsy, the church's time-honored teaching of remote versus proximate cooperation in the evil, when it comes to the remote cell lines of abortion cells having been used to develop those, which I alluded to earlier and read the paragraph from the document itself. So thank you so much, Betsy, for a great question to help clear the air on some of this confusion. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
You know, Father Wade, I don't know if you still have that document up in front of you or not, but, you know, one part of that document that really doesn't seem to get much play at all in the public discourse, you know, and I'll preface this by saying that I personally am of a mind to not get the vaccine, primarily because, you know, it has been on such a fast track, and we have really no way of knowing at this point what the possible side effects may be down the road. But one thing that you never hear people mentioning from that document is that it says, should you choose for legitimate reasons to not receive the vaccine, you have a moral obligation to conduct your affairs in such a way as to not be a vehicle for transmission of the virus.
Right. That's exactly right.
And, you know, I think that's something that needs to be pushed. And as you've said also, you know, these remote cell lines from two specific abortions that have been used in either the production and testing in the Johnson & Johnson case or just the testing in the Moderna and Pfizer case, you know, are so antiquated at this point that there are no cells from aborted fetuses in any of this process. And I think that that's something that people should know about.
That's right.
Before they use that solely as a means to decide to not get the vaccine.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And to be prudent, until you do get the vaccine, should you decide to get it, like you said, Jack, be prudent. I mean, I believe washing hands is just a good thing anyway, especially during the flu season, which runs from September through April every year, September of one year to April of the next, according to the experts. That's the flu season. Washing hands is just good hygiene, as is using the sanitizing gel. So you know, I keep a little bottle of it in my truck, for example, when I'm traveling around and going into one place and then exiting and going into another place. It's just a good thing to do, especially during the flu season.
Patty is in Olympia, Washington. She's listening to us on Sacred Heart Radio. Patty, welcome to the program. You're on with Father Wade.
Awesome. Thanks, you guys. I only know Mother through EWTN and have always appreciated all of her conversations about sin and how she's such a straight shooter and letting us know in a gentle way that we're off track. So my question today is about yoga class. Is it a sin, go? Am I sinning against the first commandment? I generally think I've been told not to go, but I have no idea why.
Yeah, anything written or talked about this by Sue Brinkman, who works very closely with Jack's wife, Johnette Bankovic-Williams, is worth reading. And Johnette herself has covered several shows on this very topic with Susan as her guest on Women of Grace.
She wrote a book on it as well.
Absolutely. So there's different types of yoga. There's the hatha, the yana, the karma, the mantra, the raja, the tantra, etc. And Sue Brinkman says that the hatha yoga is the one that's probably most popular in the United States. And she says that there's several reasons why you want to be careful not to practice yoga in general, but especially hatha in particular. It's contrary to the claims of some Catholic critics. Sue says that the following quote, "Even in yoga classes where Christians change the names of the postures to more biblical concepts, doesn't negate the source of the preternatural power within the postures themselves." That's from Yoga, Women of Grace study series, pages 19 and 20. This assertion shades into superstition, ascribing magical effects to a physical action based solely on its external performance. You can refer to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 2111, which intimates that teaching as well. And Susan would say, let's be clear, the body postures of yoga are in themselves neutral. But moving the body into certain positions does not necessarily engage the person in any particular spiritual activity. But to look at the Christian prayer posture of kneeling, for example, merely lowering the body to the knees does not engage the person in the worship of God, depending upon his or her intent or action. Someone on his knees could be weeding his garden or proposing marriage or searching for lost change under the sofa. The posture must be combined with the intent and other prayerful actions, okay? This says we can't negate the preternatural origins of yoga. And so in my opinion, there's many, many other good ways to practice meditation, contemplation, tied to the body-soul composite of relaxation of the body, just the prayer of contemplation, all that St. Teresa of Avila teaches about the different modes of prayer. That's what I would look at, is to the Christian tradition rather than to the Eastern tradition. So again, anything by Susan Brinkman, anything at Women of Grace, Catholic Answers at Catholic.com, I know has articles on it about it as well, about yoga in general, hatha yoga in particular. So be sure to look at some of those resources. But for myself, guiding my listeners, my viewers, stay away from it. We have a very strong patrimony in the Western Church from the lives of the saints on the prayer of contemplation, how to relax mind, body, and soul to commune with God. I would stick with those traditions of our Catholic Christian faith.
And my apologies to Jack in Lafayette, Louisiana, but I don't think we have nearly enough time to do justice to the question that he has. But Jack, call us back next Tuesday or maybe even tomorrow when Father Mitch is on the air. Father Wade, I'm going to give you the rare opportunity of giving me a 60-second commercial for the Fathers of Mercy.
Fantastic. Go to fathersofmercy.com. If you're a young man, 18 to 40 years of age, unmarried, looking at a possible priestly vocation in a dynamic, active missionary preaching apostolate, check us out. We preach parish missions, retreats, and devotions throughout the United States and Canada and Australia. And we invite you to contact our vocation director, Father Ken Geraci, for one of our Come and See weekends. We had these last two weekends in a row where several young men came and looked at the community, had great visits with us. We're hoping that a couple of them will actually apply, those that are able and willing with the time in their life, apart from college and whatnot. But check us out at fathersofmercy.com.
And Father, would you leave us with a blessing?
I certainly will, Jack. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Open Line Tuesday listeners during this year of St. Joseph and remain with each and every one of you this day and always. St. Joseph, terror of demons.
Pray for us. On behalf of our host, Father Wade Menezes, our producer, Michael McCall, our call screener, Ryan Penny, and our social media maven, Mr. Jeff Burson. I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for carving a little time out of your Tuesday to join us here on EWTN's Open Line. We're back at it tomorrow with Father Mitch Pacwa talking church teaching, ancient languages, and the like. Father Brian Milady, OP, is in the house on Thursday. And Friday, we'll talk to our very own Vice President of Theology, Mr. Colin Donovan. Until we get together tomorrow with Father Mitch, God bless.